Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Heat Nation, welcome back into Believe in Miami Heat. Hope you guys had a chance to listen to my episode last week with Jonathan Zaslow from 790, breaking down the offseason. We're going to do a little more breaking down in the offseason again today. Got another big 790 guest on tap for you. First, look, we're getting close. Shams Charania reporting today. The players are going to vote. Maybe Thursday on a December 22nd date. Sounds like January 18th is the latest we could go, but we're getting basketball 2 months, 3 months. It's getting close. I know you're getting restless. I'm getting restless too, but we know one thing. The NFL is happening right now. You're probably not at the game. I'm not at the game. It doesn't matter because BetOnline has you covered. You can still be in on all the action. Look, I told you last weekend, it was Tua time. I told you, 3.5 points, embarrassing. Hammer the 3.5 points. They got it done. The Dolphins got it done. I'm assuming, hey, dogs again at Arizona this weekend. Hammer that too. And I'm also, you know what I'm feeling? I know it's crazy, people. I'm feeling the Jets +7 at home versus the lowly, the lowly New England Patriots. The Jets have to win a game at some point. So I'm going +7. I'm taking the Jets. You don't want to bet on games? That's fine. They got game spreads. They got totals, teams, players, coaching props. That's fine. They give you more options to wager than any place online, but you don't want to bet on that? All right, go to the online casino. I can't stay away from it. Online blackjack all day, every day. Whew. You can't beat it. Head over to BetOnline. BetOnline.ag. Go over there today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, it's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today. BetOnline. They are your online sportsbook experts. All right, I mentioned it off the top. My buddy Jonathan Zaslow from last week works at 790. He's like, listen, you want to talk Miami Heat? You need another guy? I got a guy for you. And you know what? I think Heat fans know who this guy is. They know who he is because he works at 790, because they hear him on Hawk and Crowder, because he's got the guts. Alejandro Solana, welcome to Believe in Miami Heat, my friend.
Definitely, man. Excited to be here. I do have the guts. I feel very confident saying that I do have the guts.
Now, I got it. Look, so I listen to the show. I catch it when I'm in the car anywhere. It's 2 to 6 every day on 790. So I catch it when I'm in and out. Can you give us sort of like the genesis of where the guts, this whole thing started? Because for some people, even for me, just going back to during the playoffs when this whole thing started, how did it start and how did it get to the point where there's t-shirts that say Solana has the guts?
So, and my girlfriend's actually here, so I hope she's not in the vicinity, but it basically came at the expense of my lovely girlfriend. And I was texting her one night during the Heat's playoff run. I think this was during the Boston Celtics conference finals series, and the Heat won a couple games that she didn't watch the game with me at my house. She came over for, I believe it was game 3, and the Heat lost. And for game 4, she texted me like, hey, like, what time should I come over? And I had to let her know. I had to let her know, look, like, you're not coming over. You're not coming to watch the game. And the following day, I texted her. It worked. And she called me insane. And I said, no, I have the guts. And I tweeted it. The Heat retweeted it. Dwayne Wade said it was the best thing he's seen on Twitter that day, which was probably the highlight of my life.
It's got to be. That's a career. Yeah. That's a life highlight, right? The D Wade with the retweet. That's amazing.
Yeah, a Dwayne Wade cosign was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. So and now, you know, it caught on. Solana has the guts, and I did. I believed in this team, so I don't feel I'm coming off as arrogant when I take on this, you know, this catchphrase. Like I genuinely had the guts. I believed that this team was made for the bubble, as cliche as, you know, all the reporters were saying it, and or the team was saying it, and I believe that they could make a deep playoff run, and here we are. Fast forward, it took long enough, but fast forward to November 3rd, and they're the conference champions. Like it was a big year for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I talked to Zaz last week, and a few weeks ago I had the coach, I had Tony Fiorentino on, and we were talking about it. It's one of those things where it's like, it's hard to say that it's better than a championship run, but it's so damn close.
Yes.
It's so damn close, yeah. Just because obviously being a five seed and being counted out and not having a first ballot Hall of Famer on the team and all the things that went into it and being in such a unique year, it's like you didn't win a title, but damn, being two games away from winning a title in this type of season, it makes it pretty close, as close as you can get. It's like, I'm sure some people, because of the way they feel about LeBron, are like, this might be better than the LeBron titles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. I still think the big three years, and I have a little bit of petty in me with the way LeBron left and whatever. But I mean, the big three years, those 4 years were
it's
the greatest four years of fandom I think anybody will experience. But no, you're right about this Heat team. Everything this organization has preached for the better half of the last two decades, right? Culture, next man up. And the culture thing really took off in the bubble, but everything they've preached really came to fruition with this team. And I think this team exemplified, you know, what this organization is about more than any team in the history of the Miami Heat's, 35, 36 years since they've been in the NBA. Just a bunch of guys that everybody kind of overlooked. Bam Adebayo is a perfect example, taken 14th. Nobody expected him to make the leap he made, especially in the playoffs. Had arguably the best moment in the NBA playoffs, the game one block on Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler, another guy, he leaves Philadelphia. Everybody's claiming Jimmy came to Miami to get a check and to get a tan on South Beach. Tyler Hero, taken 13th. He arguably was the biggest guy who really... also made a huge leap in the playoffs. Kind of a household name now, Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. Kendrick Nunn.
Absolutely.
Everybody. Yeah. So I think that's why, like, we as a fan base love this team, like you said, arguably more than we've loved any Miami Heat team.
Yeah. And look, I'll pat myself on the back a little bit. I did go on Zaslo and Amber before the playoffs started. They asked me about Bam, and I did say that by the end of these playoffs, Bam would be a household name because people don't realize how good this kid is. I actually said that after the Bucks series, I said, look, they're going to beat the Pacers. They're going to play the Bucks, and the matchup with Giannis is going to make them a household name. I was like a game off. Because then it was game one of the Boston series that made him a household name with the block. But it happened. But I'm glad you brought up Tyler Hero because it transitions into kind of what we're going to talk about today, which is, you know, obviously I broke down the offseason and we came, you know, after talking with Zaz and talking with people and reading and everything you see and hearing Pat at his end of the year presser or whatever you want to call it. It seems like, look, the guys that are free agents that are important, Goran, Jay, they'll be back. The team will be pretty similar, right? So the two things that could potentially happen this offseason is, one, there's obviously that mid-level. So we'll talk about some mid-level guys that have been rumored or guys that we think could fit. And then there's also trade possibilities. And look, it's the NBA offseason, so it wouldn't be fun if there wasn't a new trade rumor literally every single day. And if the day after the NBA finals, every player wasn't getting traded to the Lakers and the Heat weren't interested in every player in the NBA because that's just how it works. But let's talk about some guys, right? So the most, obviously the guy that everyone has been on the Heat's radar in every rumor, free agency, 2021, all this is Giannis, right? So today, report comes out that Tyler Hero is reportedly not an untouchable piece in a potential Giannis trade. And there's a few things to unpack from that, because a lot of people probably say, well, why are we trading for Giannis if the idea is to wait till 2021 to get Giannis? It's a good question. I think the thought process to me is, do you want to risk 2021? Are you risking that you're definitely going to get the guy if that's your guy? So that's the first question. But to me, the question is, are you willing to give up Tyler Herro after what you've seen out of this kid? And I don't know. I'm not so sure that I'm so ready to give him up yet, partially because of the way I feel about Giannis, which is I'm not sure that Giannis is a guy who's taking you to an NBA championship just yet in his and or ever maybe. I don't know. I think maybe I'm a little bit overreacting on Giannis more than other people. But in your mind, let's do it two ways. How do you feel about Giannis coming to the Heat in general and how he fits with the current construction? And then secondly, if they did have to trade for him, how would you feel about having to package Tyler and obviously a lot of other pieces too? Because it wouldn't just be Tyler. You mean there'd be picks and this and that. So Tyler being involved in it changes the dynamic in a big way for me.
Yeah. So to answer your first question, I disagree with you. I heard your episode with Zaslo, and I definitely disagree on how you view Giannis. And by the way, it's a totally fair reaction to have after the Miami Heat, I think it's fair to say, dominated Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, he got hurt, so maybe it's not totally fair to say that they dominated him specifically. But when the Milwaukee Bucks late in games 1 and 2 needed a basket, Giannis Antetokounmpo could not get a basket. He could not create separation. He could not find ways to get his teammates to make open shots. And I mean, that is concerning for a guy that is the 2-time reigning MVP, right? In the most critical moments of a game, he can't find his own shot. Certainly concerning. And do you want that to be your best player, your franchise player, the guy maybe you're giving up a highly coveted prospect for? I understand why you'd argue no. I look at Giannis Antetokounmpo, still super young, still evolving, still growing. He is the complete evolution of today's NBA game, which is just a monster. I mean, we know it's the Greek freak, right? Like, he is everything that this NBA is becoming. And you're seeing guys like Bam Adebayo, who I wouldn't say Bam models his game after Giannis, but certainly that kind of player, a huge forward who can handle the ball, and hopefully, you know, Bam can also develop an outside shot. I think if you can bring Giannis Antetokounmpo to the Miami Heat, put him under what this organization has shown you, which is an incredible development staff under Eric Spoelstra, I think if you have any opportunity at doing it, you have to capitalize on it. So to answer your second question, as much as I want to keep Tyler Herro, as much as I want to believe that Tyler Herro can, you know, become Klay Thompson or Lou Williams or whatever, you know, these names we're hearing, his right Booker, as much as I want to believe that he can become that, which, by the way, I'm not counting out. If Pat Riley, I put it in the perspective of, what would Pat Riley do? What has Pat Riley shown us he will do? What is the precedent Pat Riley has set in his very lengthy career? If Pat Riley has a chance to move or to land Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's not going to wait. If he sees that, yes, I can get Giannis Antetokounmpo and it's going to cost me Tyler Herro and Kendrick Nunn and a pick, he's going to do it. Like, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Even as somebody who, you know, maybe is down on Giannis right now, I think you would agree. If Pat Riley sees that opportunity, that window open, he won't let that window close. He won't risk waiting till 2021 and maybe the Milwaukee Bucks do find another piece and get to the NBA championship, and it totally reverses Giannis's way of thinking. Right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I mean, we don't have hardcore proof, right? Like, this isn't written in text, but you have to imagine Giannis Antetokounmpo is down on the Milwaukee Bucks right now. He just saw a Miami Heat team that many people nobody was picking them to beat the Bucks, dominate them in the second round with a bunch of young players and one guy who's 31 years old, who, by the way, had two of the best finals performances we've ever seen.
Right.
A Jimmy Butler, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Bam Adebayo trio is the best trio in the NBA. And you can argue how that would work. You can argue the spacing. You can argue the shooting with me. And those are all fair talking points, certainly. And I'm willing to have the conversation. But Pat Riley will not turn down an opportunity to bring those three together.
I don't disagree that. And so here's the thing. I couldn't agree more in believing in what Pat Riley's plan is. So if Pat Riley has his heart set on Giannis, I would never disagree. I mean, look.
Even if he doesn't, though, right? Like, even if right now Riley sees Giannis as a long shot, if the opportunity were to present, would be presented to Pat Riley, I don't see him turning down Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't, because he's too young. He's a two-time reigning MVP, and I don't think we've seen the full, the full extent to how much better he's going to get. I don't think we've seen his ceiling.
I think that's where I kind of disagree a little bit.
Right.
And that's mainly because I do think we know what Giannis is. And I understand that people, yes, he's 25 years old, and I understand that he is young in age, but he has been in the league for 7 years. He's going into his eighth year. I think people tend to forget. They look at the age and forget that he's been in the league since he was 18 years old. Right. And here's what Giannis is to me. Elite defensive player of the year, debatable, right? But top two or three defensive player in the league. Outside of LeBron and maybe over LeBron at this point, best transition player in the league. He is unstoppable in transition. Decent post player. He's fine. He's a decent playmaker, but he has major, major, major offensive flaws in the half court. First and foremost, his inability to shoot the ball. And it wasn't even just like, look, Jimmy Butler's not a great shooter. But it's not like if you leave Jimmy open, you're like, no, don't shoot it. Right. If you play 5 feet off Giannis, it's like 50-50 on whether you even want him to shoot the ball. And yes, guys can change and I honestly personally think just watching Bam, there's a much higher possibility that Bam becomes at least a competent catch and shoot 3-point shooter, even just in corner threes or, you know, trail threes from above the break, than Giannis. Mainly because I don't think there's going to be a scenario. Like, I don't think you're ever going to get to a point in Bam's career where you're looking at him and you're saying, hey, go get yourself a shot like that, like a three right. at the end of a game. If you bring Giannis to your franchise, regardless of whether you have Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo or whoever, other than if you don't have LeBron James or Kevin Durant, you're bringing Giannis in to be your best player. You're bringing in Giannis in to be your scorer, your creator, your playmaker, and your guy that you give the ball to at the end of games. And he, like you even just said, unless he develops in a big way over the next year, two, three, whatever. So you're talking about a guy in his eighth, ninth, 10th year in the league, developing something that he doesn't currently have and really hasn't shown a semblance of having. Couldn't do it against the Heat. Has shown 2 years in a row now in the playoffs. He just can't do it at end of games. So now, to me, not only are you bringing him in and you're putting him, and I would almost compare it a little bit to the Sixers from last year when Jimmy was with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, right? Yes, they were a miracle Kawhi shot away from an Eastern Conference Finals, but you just never really felt comfortable about that team. And why was that? Because you had three guys on the floor at all times that really couldn't shoot the ball. And then you throw into it. Now, I'm not saying if Giannis is the guy, you got to give up what you give up. I'm a big proponent of that too. Like, if you think that's the guy to get you to a finals, you give up whatever you want to give up. Whatever you have to give up to get that guy, because there's very few of those guys that exist. But I'm very concerned about the fit. I do think that Bam already brings a lot of the things to Bam, 2 years younger, been in the league, what 5 years less,
right?
Brings a lot of the same things to the table that Giannis brings. I'm more concerned about just their fit together. I just don't understand offensively how you fit Bam and Giannis together. I'm not saying they can't make it work. I believe they can make it work. I just have concerns that if you're going to give up a whole lot of stuff to go get that guy, you're going to have to sort of rebuild your philosophy of a team that, whether bubble or not, was two games away from winning an NBA championship. My question would be, do you just wait it out and see? Because if you don't get Giannis in 2021, there might be other guys out there that are just close enough to the level to bring into a team that already looks like it has championship aspirations.
and maybe a better fit as well. And I'd be interested in hearing like what some of the names are. I know like the Beals and the Donovan Mitchells and the Oladipos get tossed around a lot. But to answer your question about or just you know what you just said about Giannis. So and I want to preface all of this by saying, because I know people are going to listen to this and say, how dare you compare LeBron James in 2010 to Giannis in 2020? I'm not trying to do that, but in terms of LeBron James, 7 years in the league, couldn't get over the hump, came to Miami. I think the Heat were able to transform his game. And that's no secret, right? Like the best 4 years of LeBron James, or at least the best 3 years of LeBron James, were here in Miami. I understand it's a different situation with Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? Like you wouldn't be bringing him here and changing his post-up game. Like there's certain deficiencies that Giannis is showing. Like you mentioned that it doesn't translate to how the Heat changed LeBron's outlook on basketball or just his decision-making as a basketball player. Mm-hmm. But if you can bring in Giannis Antetokounmpo, and again, I understand what you're saying, 7 years, but if you can bring him in here and you can elevate at the very least his offensive decision making and allow Jimmy Butler to be the closer late in games, then maybe that fit is better than both you and I are giving it credit for. Maybe. And with the way that the Miami Heat have consistently now for what, 5-6 years, found draft picks and found guys that nobody in the league was looking at and made them and elevated their play into Duncan Robinson, Josh Richardson, who I'm not saying Josh Richardson is an all-star, but Josh Richardson was a formidable role player in the NBA.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, no, he's right. Really good.
Derek Jones Jr. I mean, the list goes on and on. Rodney Magruder was a starter. He got paid. Deion Waiters, as much as I'm not a Deion fan. Like all these guys, the Heat found them, whether they were washed somewhere else, whether nobody had heard their name in the draft, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, Bam Adebayo.
Duncan.
Duncan. The Heat have consistently found these guys, made these guys better, made them very good role players. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to consistently continue to do that. Now you just are pairing them with the best player in the league, right? Like that's the way I look at it. That's the way I frame it in my mind.
I agree. I think no matter what happens with the Heat, what they're going to do is they're going to find the pieces that work, that they're going to find the right players for the culture. They're going to find the right talent. They're going to do all that. I don't have any issue with that. Yeah. My concern will always just be, even, all right, so you bring Giannis down here, okay? Giannis comes to Miami, and you got, so your starting lineup is Jimmy, Duncan, Giannis, Bam, and Goron next year, okay? End of games.
Are you in this hypothetical, Tyler Hero's gone, right?
Like yeah,
you,
Tyler Hero's gone.
This is a trade. Tyler Hero's gone. Maybe like Iggy and Kelly Olynyk and a pick or something.
And
gone.
Probably multiple picks. You're probably going to have to, just to get it done now, in as opposed to next year, if Milwaukee's going to give up on trying to re-sign Giannis, which I also don't see that happening.
Agreed.
Unless he publicly comes out and does the Paul George, I'm not playing here.
Right.
I just don't see them parting with him. It just, that friend, it's going to be, so, I mean, we all know how hard it is for a small market to get not just a franchise player, but a franchise player who is arguably a top two or three player in the NBA. So
agreed.
I just don't think it's going to happen. But let's just say, all right, for the sake of the entertainment of the podcast, Tyler Hero's gone.
Right.
Goron's back and Giannis is in a Heat jersey. And at the end of the game, your lineup that you have in the game is Jimmy Butler, Giannis, Bam, Goron, and Duncan. Jimmy Butler's closing out the game. Jimmy Butler's the guy with the ball in his hands closing out the game in this scenario. You're going to have trouble running a play to get a good shot because there's going to be no spacing. Goron is a good shooter. He's a better shooter off the dribble. Duncan, best shooter, one of the top five shooter in the NBA, no question. But now you have, where is Giannis going to be? Where's Bam going to be? Where Goron's probably in the corner somewhere. And now it's going to be on Jimmy. They're going to play some type of pick and roll, but Giannis's man's going to play way off of him, or they're going to play pick and roll with Giannis and Bam's man's going to, it's just more seeing it in my mind where in the playoffs, there's no question what's going to happen. Giannis is going to come here and the Heat are going to be the number one seed in the East. I worry that in a 7-game series, you're going to get into these scenarios. Now, maybe, look, maybe in the offseason, Bam gets to the point where he can develop a corner three. All he needs is, now look, if Bam comes out, like, and we see these workouts, like we see these Ben Simmons, Chris Johnson hoops workout tapes where Ben Simmons was knocking down threes in transition. If I see this in like 3 weeks, if I see some YouTube video of Bam knocking down corner threes in some off-season run, you know what? My confidence level is going to go way up because that changes the whole dynamic. That's like that's the Brook Lopez leaves New Jersey and all of a sudden the guy is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. I see that from Bam, all right, all bets are off. Bring it on. I'm just concerned that neither of them are quite there yet.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you. Like, the fit is concerning. And by the way, you mentioned Duncan being on the court. Well, we saw this year how much Duncan struggled when teams were just focusing on him. The Lakers did everything they could to rush him off the three-point line, going over screens, doubling every single time, hedging him. So we saw like where Duncan, when he is under the microscope of the defense, he struggles and he can't get his own shot. And you have to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, is he going to get better off the dribble, pump fake, step in, shoot, getting to the rim? Maybe, maybe not. Like, Kyle Korver never truly developed that. So I don't know. I'm not trying to take away from Duncan's progress. I'm just saying, like, you don't know what you're going to see from Duncan if he's going to get that confidence.
Well, I'll tell you what. I saw this year such a jump from Duncan in terms of his going from just a catch and shoot guy to the things – To the way he plays and dribble handoffs with Bam, his pocket pass coming off pick and rolls, his one dribble pull up. He became a great cutter, not like a good cutter. Like, he became a great cutter because teams were overplaying him so much. So I think he'll become more comfortable. And you know what? To me, yeah, he struggled a lot in the finals because they were pinpointing him. But like, I think that's just sort of just as much of him struggling as it is just a testament to how good he's become. The NBA champions had to focus on him so much and think about how much, I mean, like, who knows, in some of those games where they're just totally focusing on taking Duncan out of it, does Jimmy Butler get a 40-point triple-double? Like, how much opened up for Jimmy just because there's one guy solely focused on the fifth best player on the court for the Heat, you know? So I think I think he'll get better in those situations. Defensively is where he's going to, but that being said, if you bring in Giannis, you have Giannis, Jimmy Butler, and Bam, it probably doesn't matter very much.
Yeah. Defensively, it could be you and me out playing the 2-3 zone up top whatever. Yeah.
That would be, it's funny because I always say, like, you know, as important as defense is, you have to score to win. But man, that defensive team that'd be something, man. Funny. I don't know. I'm so on the fence about it. I mean, I'm not going to say no if Giannis is down here, but it's just the fit. It really is the fit. Cause I feel like he can't get it done now in Milwaukee. And the way Milwaukee's built right now is catered to him. This Milwaukee team is like the Cleveland teams for LeBron. Just shooters all around and let Giannis do his thing. And he hasn't gotten it done. I wonder how it would work with less shooters. So,
but I think you'd agree, Cleveland with Kyrie is a much better two than Giannis with Chris Middleton. And I like Chris Middleton, by the way, but he's not Kyrie Irving. And he's probably, I know, a very different style of play, but he's probably not even Kevin Love, right? Like, in terms of where he's at, and like the star ranking.
Probably,
like
he's probably not. Yeah,
and
no.
And even if he is, he's nowhere near Kyrie. Like, he just isn't.
Yeah, but I mean, look, here's the thing. And no, he's not in terms of, I guess, what you consider a star. I think he's a better defensive player than both of them. And I think Kyrie and Kevin Love were both losers before they played with LeBron. So I think it's, you know, Kyrie was, you know, putting up numbers, and Kevin Love obviously was putting up absurd numbers in Minnesota, but neither of them won a thing in their NBA careers before LeBron. So it says, I mean, I guess Chris Middleton probably didn't win a whole lot until he was a teammate with Giannis. So it probably goes both ways.
Just kept the Heat out of the playoffs in 2015.
Right, yeah. So, you know, all right, so let's,
whatever.
All right, so Giannis is like, you know, that's the ultimate prize. That's what Miami's been looking at for. Let's say Giannis is out of the picture. There's names that just day after day, names just go, this guy. Oh, the Heat could trade for this guy. So let's go through some of the names and let's see what we think. If it's not Giannis, what we think about some of these names. Brad Beal. For me, Brad Beal, I think Brad Beal fits on any team in the NBA. depending on what you have to give up for Brad Beal, if you think you can't get Giannis, I'm like, go get Brad Beal right now and the Heat can win a championship next year. I don't even think it's a question. And I don't even think people realize, I think he might be the most underrated player in the NBA. Like, how often does the second leading scorer in the NBA, guy average 30 points a game and carry that team to even be in the bubble? Like, no one talks about him. No one cares. I think it's because he's in Washington, but he's so good.
That's what it is. He's in Washington, and that team has been irrelevant for so long. I'm with you, by the way. That, to me, is the best fit for the way that how this team is constructed right now. You address so much of the offense's deficiencies. You add the shooting. You add the consistent three-point shooting, the three-point scoring. I mean, he is perfect for this team. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Victor Oladipo.
You have to, by the way, with Bradley Beal, right? Like, he's making a lot of money. You're basically putting all your chips into Bradley Beal. So you have to be certain that that fit is going to be what's going to get you from, you know, finals contender to actual championship contender. And you also are going to have to give up Tyler Hero. I know a lot of people are hoping you wouldn't have to. There's no way Washington gets rid of their best player, their best asset, and not bringing in Tyler Hero from Miami. I don't see a scenario there where you can bring in Bradley Beal and retain Tyler Hero.
This is going to sound crazy, and I know people probably think I sometimes say wild shit, but I'm like, so if I'm getting Brad Beal, I'm like, right, later, Tyler. I love Tyler Hero. I think he's going to be great, but I think Tyler Hero's ceiling is Brad Beal. At the best. Right. Like, that's the ceiling. So, like, all right, give me Brad Beal. And I know, like, I was hesitant on Giannis, but I think it's just because I'm hesitant on Giannis in general. But, yeah, yes, Tyler Hero in a package for Brad Beal. You're doing that because, like I said, are you going to win a championship? Look, the Lakers are probably going to be back in the championship next year, depending on who they put around LeBron and AD. I don't see a team in the West really getting that much better to beat them. So now it's a matter of, are you good enough to now win those other two games if you stay healthy? Brad, getting a guy that's a 30-point scorer and as talented all around as Brad Beal,
It just seems like he's actually bought into giving Washington one more year.
Yeah.
He wants to see how John Wall is going to come back. I mean, that's going to blow up in Washington's face again. They're going to have to part ways with him eventually.
Yeah, I don't see him in Washington past the deadline, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think you're naive as a Heat fan if you don't think that the only two untouchable players are Bam and Jimmy. Like, you were mm-hmm. naive.
Yeah.
And I love Tyler as much as anybody. I claimed he was going to be rookie of the year before the season started. Like, I was drinking the Kool-Aid hard, and that was obviously just me being stupid, but I'm still taking credit for that.
Yeah. I loved him. I loved him in the draft. In my old, where I used to work, I used to book his, you know, like, we couldn't get him on before the draft, but we got some of the other people that were with his agency, and I was talking to one of his reps, and I was just like, dude, I don't understand how he's not a top 10 pick. He's the best shooter in the draft. I think it's because he's young, and it's one of those Kentucky things where, like, no one gets enough touches, so no one scores enough points, so they don't get enough attention as individuals, so they drop. But, like, dude, it wasn't even a question to me. He's the best shooter in the draft, and I saw the confidence level when he played at Kentucky. Yeah, I wasn't on him as rookie of the year, but I also wasn't on Zion as rookie of the year, even if he played. I was not a big Zion guy either. I was always, like, Ja Morant's winning rookie of the year. It was sort of a foregone conclusion to me just because of his situation. But Tyler, I love Tyler coming into the draft. Yeah. Oladipo is a name that keeps coming up constantly. And I think in terms of organizational fit, there's not a lot of guys like Oladipo. Like Oladipo, it would be interesting to see how he fits with Jimmy Butler on the floor. But in terms of a guy you want to be part of your organization, and I think if you traded for him now, you wouldn't have to give up as much as you would have obviously pre-injury. So if you're looking for that other, you know, that third guy who you could get on a budget type of trade that could potentially, if he gets back to form, be like an all-NBA type player, Oladipo is not a bad option. I don't know if I would pull the trigger right now either because of how he looked in the playoffs, but it's enticing.
Yeah, I would pass on Oladipo. I'd rather run it back honestly. And I don't disagree with anything you just said, by the way. It's definitely enticing. Once you saw how big of a drop-off his play took post-injury in the playoffs, and again, he could be wasn't totally rehabilitated, the bubble. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much goes into that, right? So much factors into it. But I'd pass on Depot for right now. I don't think he makes you better than the Lakers. So why even bother? Just keep your young guys, see what you can develop them into, and then hopefully, you know, leverage that into somebody who will make you a team better than the Lakers.
Yeah, and I think the amazing thing about this whole conversation, it sort of harps back to something that I said to Zaz last week, which is the amazing thing about the Heat right now is that they're in this position. Like, crazy. It's how rare is it to have a team that was two games away from a championship, but also two of their three best players are going to be in their second and third year in the league. They're 20 and 23 or 20 and 22. And you have all these assets to potentially, if you want to, if you feel like you can get better, go do it. But if you don't feel like you can get better, oh, let's just run it back with a team that was in the NBA finals. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how real any of these other ones are, but I've seen both of the Spurs stars as potential options. DeRozan, apparently DeRozan has a relationship with Jimmy. Yeah. And then L.A., LaMarcus Aldridge. He was a guy Riley wanted a few years ago, and now obviously he's older. Aldridge is more of a guy who I think you might be able to get like on a mid-level next year. He's going to be a free agent next year. Right. Maybe you wait, and like when he's going to be like 36 looking to win a championship. They go get him now. Like the way they're thinking about Millsap this year, maybe wait till next year and get him on that deal.
Yeah, I love the idea of Millsap, by the way. Like I don't know if the mid-level will be enough for Millsap, but I love the idea of bringing Millsap. If I can get over the 2011 experience where he like hit nine three-pointers, like it was Paul Millsap forever haunting me. But I love the idea of Millsap this year. If the mid-level works, I think he's perfect for this team defensively, can handle the ball. He can shoot the three. Like he's perfect for what this team needs. As far as DeRozan, I mean, I couldn't want somebody less than DeMar DeRozan. Aldridge, I mean, it's LaMarcus Aldridge. Like he'd be great. I think he's a good fit as well for this team. But exactly how you just how you stated it, that's not somebody you risk losing a young piece to go get right now.
Yeah, like, I don't think you would have to give up a lot. I mean, I guess it depends on what the Spurs are looking to do. But I mean, I feel like you're at a point where. Would you even give up? Like, would you give up the 20th pick for LaMarcus Aldridge? Probably not.
No, you wouldn't. No. And by the way, a lot of this also depends on what they do with the 20th pick. Mm-hmm. Like, I know with the mid-level, like Jeremy Grant, and you and I were texting back and forth, like there's a bunch of names that are being thrown out there. I don't think Jeremy Grant ends up leaving. His role was just too good. And I don't see it, you know, being what it was for Miami. But like a lot of it depends on what they do with that 20th pick, right? Yeah. Like if they go and they get a big, then like throw all the Ibaka rumors out the window, right? Yeah. Like what's the point? And if they go and they get a point guard, then they're pretty much set for guards, right? Like, right. Especially if you bring back Goran.
Yeah. Well, all right. So the only other trade one, let's talk mid-level, but the only other trade one was De'Aaron Fox. And I know you said him and Bam had like a Twitter interaction that people were, interested in. Look, the thing with De'Aaron Fox is he'd be interesting, and right now he's in the same situation as Bam, where you have to decide what type of extension and whether you want to extend him or not. So the only issue I would have is, do you want to trade for another guy that you're going to potentially have to pay a lot of money? Like, I don't see De'Aaron Fox as the guy getting you over the hump. He's young, so you're talking about. I mean, if you don't have to give up Tyler Hero, if you're talking about going into the future in the Eastern Conference with De'Aaron Fox, Tyler Hero, and Bam, it's not a bad way to go. But I don't know, two guys going into their extension years, having to tell them to wait so that we could potentially go get Giannis. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah, I think the Fox stuff is more down the line. Like I don't think that's even possible this year, next year. I think it's more just down the line. But I'm a sucker for Instagram comment rumors.
Yeah.
And that was right up my alley, man. Like, that was right up my alley.
Yeah, I think the Fox thing is more on the Sacramento end, is that they have big decisions to make between Fox's extension and then Buddy Hield being unhappy and matching Bogdan Bogdanovich's restricted free agency. So I do another podcast and I sort of talk about, I think I would trade De'Aaron Fox and keep the two shooters, but so that's where I kind of ran into the Heat rumor. I was like, oh, to the Heat? I don't know. But money-wise, if he'd be willing to come here and wait it out for a year, he's only making $8 million. So you could make it work pretty easily, but I don't know. All right, mid-level. So you mentioned Paul Millsap. Five Reasons. One of the guys at Five Reasons said the other day that the Heat are interested in actually splitting the mid-level among Paul Millsap and Wes Matthews, which is interesting. Basically, you know, you said, could we get Paul Millsap for the mid-level? And my thought was, yeah, I think a guy like Paul Millsap at this point in his career, I know he's coming off of a year where he made $30 million, but I think because of the fact that he's so set, I think he's going to be 37 next year or 36. Like
36, I think.
Yeah. He's got to be ring chasing at this point.
I think that's what it is, right? Like he's looking for, he's 35 right now, but he turns 36 this year, this season. Yeah. I mean, for him, it's going to be situation and it's going to be, who's contending and the best fit. And I really think it's the Heat. Like I really do think that's a perfect fit for him. It's just going to come down to, do the Heat have enough to get him? I know it sounds like the Heat have a lot of money and the mid-level is going to be there. But if Millsap can go out and get a 1-year deal for a lot more money, then like why would he take the mid-level? And the Heat aren't going to have cap space. We talk about the Heat having cap. Well, once they re-sign Goran and once they re-sign Jay Crowder, they pretty much have no more money in terms of cap.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like you said, I think the decision to him is going to be, do you want to take $20 million on for a couple years to go play for the Knicks, or do you want to take $9.5 million to potentially go to the finals for the first time in your career, and he could also just stay in Denver if they'll have him back on a team friendly deal because they were pretty close too. Wes Matthews is a guy who I haven't been a big fan of for a few years now. I understand it again from he's super tough. I mean, this is a guy who always kind of is known for always playing. And in terms of the culture, he's also a Marquette guy. So I don't know. He probably has a relationship with Jimmy. But he hasn't been good in a while. And I'm not really sure. I feel like if you are splitting up, I understand they want to bring in some more vets. There's other vets. I think there's other vets. I'm not a huge I used to love Wes Matthews. But I just, at this point in his career, I don't know that he brings you that much. He's not going to have to bring you a ton. But I don't even know that I think there's better guys out there.
Yeah, are you in agreement that Derek Jones Jr. probably gone, right? Like to the Hawks or something.
He's going to get overpaid for what he is. And not that he doesn't deserve it, but like, you can't. I think Zaz put it perfectly. Is like, you can't pay the money he's going to make for a guy who's not going to play.
Right. And you saw it there in the finals. Like you just couldn't put him on the court. And when you did bring him on the court, it was for important defensive possessions and he was picking up stupid fouls. Like, and I love Derek Jones Jr., by the way. Like, but yeah, that's a guy. He has like New York Nick written all over him. I like the fit in Atlanta with Trae Young.
Sure.
But for Wes Matthews, like that could be a solid replacement for Derek Jones Jr., right? Like somebody who can come off the bench. He's just, He's a very adaptable player. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that even makes sense in basketball terms, but just he can play 3-and-D. He's a hustle guy. He can handle the ball. If Jimmy misses some time, you can start him. You don't have to tweak the lineup too much. Spo loves to do that, right? Like he doesn't like to adjust the lineup too much. So he'll bring off somebody who wasn't getting too many minutes and insert them into the starting lineup. Like he can be that guy. And I think that's a good role for Wes Matthews. And look at Jay Crowder, man. Like everybody looked at him as just a throw-in to the Iggy trade, and he ended up being arguably one of the most important players in this run.
Yeah.
That could be your Wes Matthews next year, where you don't realize the value you're getting. And when the Heat find his role, it may end up being a very significant one.
Jay's a Marquette guy too, right? This is all bringing in all Marquette guys. That's fine. I mean, Tom Crean was a tough coach when he was at Marquette. He's always been known as a tough coach. So it makes sense that he has guys connected to the Heat organization. Look, if you could split up the mid-level and get those two guys, do it. I mean, that's value. I mean, because we're sitting here talking about, is Millsap going to get a one-year deal for $15, $16 million? If we can split up the mid-level and get those two guys, it's worth it. But yeah, you mentioned Jeremy Grant. I love Jeremy Grant. Like what I saw from him in the play, you talked about the jump that that Bam and Tyler and those guys. The jump that I saw Jeremy Grant make in the playoffs this year was unbelievable. And it, particularly, I hate Syracuse guys. I hate Syracuse guys coming out of college. Generally speaking, if they're not named Carmelo Anthony, they didn't pan out in the NBA. Jeremy Grant has developed into the perfect NBA role player. Like, he is an incredible defender. He was so good defensively. He can shoot the ball. He's great in transition. He's going to get a lot of money. He's not taking the mid-level from anybody. I think he's getting $15 million, and I don't think that he can afford him. I just don't think. And I think Gallinari was the other guy that we've seen rumored out there. I don't think that he can afford Gallinari either. I think that's part of the reason why they didn't trade for him.
Didn't he like change his mind? Didn't you see that story in the offseason where he said a winner is more important than getting paid now? Like maybe his mind has changed. Maybe he realized, man, like I could have made the difference for Dallas, or I could have made Miami. The difference for the Heat. Right. Yeah. Like, and if you're asking for, I was just, you know, loving on Paul Millsap. Like, you want to talk about perfect fit for this team?
Well, it's guys Danilo. Like, yeah, guys like Gallinari are perfect for him. I mean, those are the type of guys that are just plug and play. Like, anybody who shoots the ball like that, you're 6'10 and you shoot. I mean, that's why Bertans is about to get paid, because he's basically a 10-year younger version.
I love Bertans.
Like, how could you not?
I love Bertans.
I mean, the guy is 6'10, comes from the Spurs. That you got Pop out here talking about how much they hated the fact that they had to get rid of him. And I mean, the guy, top five shooter in the NBA, and he's 6'10.
I'm looking, I had never thought about the Syracuse draft picks, and I'm just looking at these, and wow, I mean, you couldn't have been more spot on.
Oh,
Tyler Ennis,
it's brutal.
Michael Carter Williams, Deion Waiters, Fab Melo in the first round.
Oh, my awesome. God. Rest in peace, by the way.
Wesley Johnson, Johnny Flynn. What the hell ever happened to Johnny Flynn?
Dude, I'm telling you.
Didn't the Timberwolves take two point guards back to back? That wasn't that Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn, like back to back?
Yeah. Yep. Oh yep. I actually talked about that on my other podcast earlier today when we were recording, because we did a attempt to fix the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we were hearkening back to the David Kahn days of. I'll tell you what, we did the Kings the day before. Timberwolves are easier to fix than the Kings. That team's a shit show. But anyways, the Syracuse thing's crazy. Part of it is, look, so I worked when I went to Florida State. I was a video guy at Florida State, and then I worked in the NBA. I was a video coordinator for the Grizzlies and the Hornets. So watching tape, it's just the Syracuse thing is just like, I feel like zone defense. I know teams are starting to play zone more in the NBA. I hate it. It drives me nuts. But the thing in college is, I always felt like zone was the biggest cop out ever. And any team that plays zone for 40 minutes straight is not preparing a player to play in the NBA. And right. I think a big part of why these guys fizzled out is they all came into the NBA and were horrendous defenders, and they were not learning anything at Syracuse. And then they came in, and of course Melo was going to be great. Melo could have came out of high school and been great. I mean, this guy's one of the best scorers ever. But the rest of these guys, bums. Jeremy Grant, though, is breaking the mold. Jeremy Grant is breaking the mold. Love that guy. There's two guys that are totally flying under the radar to me for the mid-level. Tristan Thompson and Serge Ibaka. We talk about guys potentially wanting to win. These are guys who have won and are at the end of their career. So they've done pretty much what they need to do. Yeah. And tell you what. I understand Tristan Thompson can't score, but he does damn near everything else. Over the last 2 years, I'm pretty sure he's one of two players who's averaged 10 and 10 over the last 2 years, like 2 years straight. It's totally flown under the radar because he doesn't. He plays on a shitty team. This guy's an NBA champion, elite defender. He can switch off onto players. He can guard wings, and he would be. You could start him with Bam if you needed to in a pinch. Bring him off the bench. He could, in the Lakers series, he's going right at Dwight. He could probably guard AD a little bit. Like, he would be great. And then Serge fits any team because Serge can shoot it and he can defend and all that.
Yeah. So my thing with Tristan Thompson, and I hadn't even, you know, even thought about that. But LeBron James tweeted that they were at lunch and more things to come or whatever.
Sounds
so
right.
he's going to be a Laker. And I think that's pretty evident by now. But you're totally right. Like that fit would have been perfect. And man, just having him to come in, if Bam has to miss a couple games or you keep Bam from, you know, just wearing down his body in the regular season, yeah. Like Tristan's a perfect guy for that fit. And as far as Ibaka, I love Ibaka. All the cryptic Spanish tweets from Ibaka, like, got me thinking, like, he wants to be in Miami. I don't see him.
Or does he want to go with Mark back to Spain?
Right. Very true. I don't see him leaving Toronto for a lesser role in Miami. That's my only thing with Ibaka.
He came off the bench in Toronto.
Yeah, but Marc Gasol's leaving, and Toronto, I feel like they're one of the few Eastern Conference teams which next year is probably gonna lose more than they're gonna win.
They're in a rough spot, I think. Yeah,
right. And Van Vliet's gone, right? So like they're gonna want to keep Ibaka. He's like their core guy from their championship run. I think they're gonna want to keep him. I think they're gonna pay more, and I think they'll offer him a bigger role than the Heat. Not that the Heat won't want to, they just won't have the minutes. Like they just won't.
He can play 20 minutes a game for the Heat.
And he could even start.
He would take Kelly O. He would take Kelly O's minutes.
And Myers Leonard started
every
game, what, 60 games or 50 games this year in the regular season.
I mean, he would be your primary backup big off the bench. So I don't know. I mean, it's just if I'm him, I guess it depends on what Toronto's going to offer him. No matter what they offer, I can't imagine them giving him more than a year. Like, so it's just a matter of if they're going to give him more than $10 million, $11 million for the 1 year just to stay. But also, Toronto's got to make a decision if they actually, I guess they don't have a choice. They kind of pin themselves into this situation where Siakam's extension starts this year, and they still have Kyle Lowry, so they're kind of stuck. So I think you're probably right. They probably have to pay to keep them there to have some semblance of a playoff team.
Yeah. 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 They're in a rough spot and Van Vliet's gone. Right. Like he has, I said it earlier, mm-hmm. Nick or Piston, I think, written all over him, man. Like
he's been rumored that the rumors to him were happening before World Wide West took over.
I love that. I love that too, because you know he's going to go there and he's just not a number one. They're going to pay him like a number one or number two, and they're going to be handicapped like they always are.
Oh my God. It's the only way it works is if they do trade for Chris Paul. And then, you know, him and Chris Paul, it could work like him and Kyle Lowry. Not that that's going to like win you anything, but at this point, what's the bar for the Knicks? The bar is like, right. If you make it, playoffs, if you're an eight seed, like it's right. A miracle. So, right. But yeah, they're going to overpay him. But I also heard that the Raptors are going to make a big run at Montrezl Harrell, and I hate that. Like, I don't think he's worth the money he's going to get either. So that's, you know, if they're planning on paying big money to Harrell, then maybe they don't have the money for Ibaka. Who knows?
Very true. Yeah.
And then one last guy that I had on my radar, and I don't know if you have other guys on your radar, but Chris Dunn is really interesting to me. And I know the Heat are kind of set, you know, with Kendrick next year. And then they'll bring back Goron, but you know, Kendrick only has 1 year left, right? Next year. Then you got to decide what you want to do with him. Goron's getting older. It's going to be a 1 year deal. Chris Dunn's a former lottery pick. Who's a great defender and developed to 3-point shot a little bit. If you could get him in, even if you split up, you know, the way they talked about Wes Matthews, insert Chris Dunn, get rid of Wes Matthews. And you got a young guy that could develop into something pretty good there. On the cheap, because he's sort of been, you know, drafted out of his position in Chicago. I think he could be an interesting option.
It's funny you say that, and this obviously means nothing, but he's my preferred 2K backup point guard for the Miami Heat. So thumbs up for no other reason than he's my guy. So thumbs up on Chris Dunn. But yeah, I just think, again, we have to see what they do with the 20th pick in the draft, because if they do go get a point guard, then you probably won't see them going out and getting Chris Dunn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Is there anybody else? Are there any other guys that you've seen or that you think like I wouldn't mind seeing? Like, you know who I really wouldn't mind seeing in a Heat jersey if you can get him cheap? Aaron Baines. I love that guy.
Oh my God! Yes. Give me Aaron Baines all day. I think he's better than Kelly O. I think he's he's better for this roster than Kelly O as well. And I love Kelly O. I know it kind of sounds like I'm shitting on him, but I don't. I'm
Aaron
not,
Baines
I,
is old. The only thing is he's super old, but he's good, man.
But he's the perfect guy that you can get. Like, he's your option, what, B or C or whatever.
Oh, but, D? But he's still, I don't know, yeah.
Right. But still, like, there's value there. There's certainly value there.
Oh, absolutely. I love the guy. I mean, it was so funny. I was watching a game. I think it was a Phoenix game, he was on Phoenix, obviously. But I was watching a game where I was watching him, and I'm like, God damn, this guy sets good screens. And then Jeff Van Gundy goes, there should be an award for best screener in the NBA, and it should be named after Aaron Baines. I'm like, dude, it's true. It's unbelievable. The guy, he just gets guys open.
I think
he's also an NBA champion.
He is very true. I saw some people on Heat Twitter talking about Hassan Whiteside. I mean, no effing way, right? Like, just no way.
Listen. This guy leads the NBA in blocks, averages 15 and 10, and the fucking Blazers couldn't bench him fast enough when Nurk came. Like, they couldn't send him and relegate him to the bench fast enough when their actual center came back. He is such a bum.
Jordan Clarkson?
Yeah, I mean,
it's interesting.
He could score it. He played really well for Utah this year. He was an interesting player for them. You know, everybody becomes more interesting with the Heat, I think. It's like there's a few places in the league where, like, a guy immediately becomes more interesting. They become more interesting when they play with LeBron. They become more interesting when they play in Miami. I mean, there's probably other places too, but, like, both of those situations where it's like, you know, LeBron's going to make you better, and you know, being in a Heat jersey is going to make you better just because of the system. So, yeah, Jordan Clarkson. I wonder if Jordan Clarkson values himself a little more than the mid-level, because he's not old, right? He's still in his, like, mid to late 20s.
Very young. Hold on. Yeah. Right here. He's 28. He's 28.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
That's another guy that might have, like, Nick written all over him, or Detroit or Charlotte.
Totally.
Or something like that.
A lot of these things with the Knicks now, I check who they're repped by, because if they're a CAA guy, then there's a good chance they're going to New York.
There's a link there, right?
Yeah. So that's where, like, I'm pretty sure Leon Rose, if he didn't just represent Chris Paul, he was representing Chris Paul at some point, and that's probably why you keep hearing Chris Paul of the Knicks. Well, either way, dude, it's going to be exciting. I'm glad that we're hearing now, like I mentioned off the top, that it's looking like the players are relenting and they realize we're going to have to start basketball soon, which means the draft is the 18th, so free agency would start, like, a couple days after. So we're going to be finding out sooner than later. It's awesome.
Yep.
Dude, I appreciate you jumping on with me. This is fun, man. We're going to have you back. Absolutely. I mean, this is good stuff.
No joke. Anytime. Like, yeah. Seriously, anytime. I had a lot of fun, for real.
Cool. Appreciate it, man. Talk to you next time.
Cool, man. Take it easy.
Another great conversation. This time, Alejandro Solana from 790. He's got the guts to believe in Miami Heat. He believed from the beginning. And hopefully you guys believe in Miami Heat as well. And if you do, you know the deal. Rate, subscribe, review, subscribe, rate, review, review, rates. I don't know the order, but just do it. Go ahead, go to Apple Podcasts, leave a little message for me. Let me know who you are on the podcast. Let me know what you think about the podcast, unless you don't like it, but how could that be possible? And of course, I'll see you next week. And as always,
Heat Nation.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards, we have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big.